Multi-hub meetings. What are those and why should you care? Maarten van Esten wrote a book on the future of meetings and he's here with me in the studio. Hi Maarten, welcome to our studio.
Good to see you, Kevin.
You wrote a book, Multi-hub meetings, and you're all dressed for the occasion, I see.
Yeah, I'm disguised as a doctor meeting design.
Okay.
And Multi-Hub is all about meeting design. It's one format within the hybrid meeting format. So it's like a very small niche in meeting design knowledge.
But before we dive into it, can you just explain what are Multi-Hub meetings?
A multi-hub meeting is, very simply put, groups that are in a video call.
What's then the difference with just a video call? Or
just a video call would be individuals in a video call.
And it are groups? And
these are groups. So you have 20 people here, 60 people in Paris, 80 people in New York, 50 people in Hong Kong, and they are in one meeting.
Okay. And why should you choose for this kind of format?
Well, there's many reasons. Increasing reach is one of them. An example of a case with 18 cities in Spain, where the reach increased from 150 to 350 participants because people don't have to travel. For a short presentation, an important presentation, people would like to travel, but they don't always have the time. Yeah. So they choose not to go.
But isn't it then easier to just call in from your home directly, like in a webinar?
Yeah, but that's boring.
People
fall asleep, people check out, people get distracted, people don't like it. And webcasts, you know, even if it's well done, it's hard to stay focused as an individual participant. So when you bring those people together in their city or in their region in the group, then it becomes much more fun. The networking starts to work. You learn from each other as well. And it's just more fun as well.
But that also would mean that you would do some things online, for example, the speaker, but you also have, you mentioned networking. I suppose you won't do that over the video connection.
No, you would do the networking in a local environment, which is nice. For example, if you're a company and you do this, your local representative would be in one room only with the local customers.
Yeah.
So if you're in a big meeting with 300 people and you're the local supplier from Paris, for example, or the local agent from Paris, you have to look for your participants, your local people. In a multi-hub meeting, that obviously becomes very compact.
Yeah. It makes sense what you tell, but why is it that we aren't do that before and just starting now?
Yeah, and it's starting very slowly as well. I'm sure that we will reach a tipping point at one day, but today I think the technology evolved, so it becomes it's reliable now. It's been shown by some companies that they can do hundreds of these meetings without any failure. So no dropouts of a hub that is not connected or something.
Yeah.
So the quality of the internet connections is improved. The tools are better. The technology is compact. So there is a lot of things that happened, have evolved, innovation that make it possible to do it today.
What makes a multi-hub meeting a really great multi-hub meeting?
Well, I think there is four essential components that make people say at the end, it felt like we were really all in the same meeting. And those four components are, first of all, the video. You have to have a video image from all the hubs. So, and preferably that's always on or as much on as possible. So on your screen, you would have 24 little videos if you have 24 hubs or six if you have six hubs. Yeah. So always video. Everybody can see everybody. And if I ask a question, everybody can see me. Secondly, the sound. If I want to ask a question, wherever I am, I need to be able to use the microphone and ask the question so that I don't need to ask permission or anything. I think that's essential. So if I feel I need to say something now, I can do that. If I feel I really have an urgent question, I can do this. So one microphone for each round table, for example, is
exactly the same thing as when you're in an auditorium or something. You can always raise up and and ask something.
A question, yes. So it's just replicating this normal single venue or single hub meeting.
Yeah.
Thirdly, you have to give the local group time together. So give them 5 minutes or 2 times 5 minutes during each hour where they can talk to each other. So they do some local networking and learn from each other locally. So that's the local engagement. And then the last one is global inclusion. So the global inclusion means that you have at least one question or one remark from each of the hubs. So if you have 20 hubs, make sure that all of them have at least said something or have asked some question. So image, sound, local activity, and global inclusion.
But purely from a logistic point of view, how do you make sure if you organize such an event, let's say you have 3 hubs in Tokyo, New York, and Amsterdam, for example, how do you make sure that it doesn't become chaos, that it's clear who will be talking, what will happen? If somebody wants to ask a question, how does that go?
Strangely enough, it's just like a normal meeting. If you have 300 people in a room, people tend to be polite because they are seen by everybody else when they're not. Mm-hmm. They don't fall asleep for the same reason, because they are in an environment which is putting some social pressure on them. So that's a natural. Mm-hmm. I've seen a little bit of chaos where 2 people, 3 people were talking, in a debate. They were not giving each other enough space. You see the same in a TV studio, and these people are sitting in one room. In this case, it happens, but it was only once that I've seen it. And it works like in a real situation. You have a moderator that says, let's listen to this person first and then, move on to the next. So it's a matter of moderating this debate.
Okay, it has some impact on the moderator. But is there also impact on organizers, on venues, for example?
Yeah, I think organizers have more options now to, for example, leave the speakers in their hometown. I've seen cases where the organizer chooses 3 professors, one in Hong Kong, one in London, another one in South America, and they have a local group of people coming together around this speaker. So this,
that's also much cheaper and more ecological.
Yeah, there is nobody is flying except the technicians that might go to these hubs. Sometimes they are the only ones that fly. The speakers sometimes also come together in one hub, and then you have more like satellites that are watching but also engaged in conversation, because there is a lot of dialogue and conversation and question and answer happening between all the hubs.
Why did you write a book on this subject?
Yeah, it's because I can. I have lots of experience with multi-hub meetings now, very quickly since 2016. Through one company that was involved with, and the client grew from 10 to 20 to 40 meetings in over the past 3 years. So they really see that it works. They really see they save money. They really see they have an increase in reach. And that's why they are so happy, and they are increasing the number of meetings, multi-hub meetings that they do. So I had lots of experience, but I also knew about several cases through the Meeting Design Institute and talking to other people. I could find different cases, for example, 6 islands connected to Portugal, for example, or 40 countries from one medical pharmaceutical company with 4,600 people together in a multi-hub meeting for a couple of hours. So I have many cases in the book. But also the second reason why I wrote this book is to show the industry that we need these kind of books as well. Yeah. I think when you look at the books in the industry, and every once in a while there is a new book coming out, they are very broad. The first book that I wrote was Meeting Architecture. Yeah. And this is a book about the discipline of meeting design in a way, through becoming a meeting architect in a way. But that's a broad book, and there's many people that write a broad book because they have lots of experience in many different things, and they write a book about many different things. Now, this is a specialized book because it's a niche within the niche of hybrid meetings. Mm-hmm. So it's just one segment. And by showing that this book is possible, it's 250 pages, and I'll leave it to you to judge after reading it whether it's a good book or not. But I think we can, as an industry, produce more specialized books, you know, niche books. And I think our students that want to become meeting designers and meeting professionals and meeting architects need those books. They need a library of different books that they can pick and choose because they want to become more this or that as a meeting designer. And so it's just a statement as well as just because the knowledge was there.
If our watchers want to know more about this book, where can they buy it?
It's on Amazon.
On Amazon.
It's a print on demand.
Maarten, thank you very much for coming over to the studio.
Pleasure.
And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.